This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Hello, people, and welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Molloy. It is actually today Kennedy Molloy, Hamish Andy.
Oh, that's pretty classic.
Both of the big guns in at once to talk up their TV show, which is back in our boxes early next week. That promises to be a load of fun. Andy's in a bit of trouble. I'll talk to him
not
about
with
that
me.
With a bottle of wine. Whose side are you on? Give us a call.
All right. On both of their sides. We've got a new segment coming out.
What's it called?
Do you want me to say it?
You can say it.
It's called I Spit Out My Drink.
Well, good Lord.
It's a statement. You've got to tell me a story.
Yeah.
Or I'll tell you a story.
And depending on how you react.
Yep.
You will know if it's shocking or not.
Yep.
What could go wrong?
Okay.
I can't wait. Is your child a child prodigy?
I might have one.
Put your hand down, Dave. Put your hand down. You might have one?
I might have one.
Wow.
A borderline.
There's a guy who's just won the Nobel Prize in Maths.
Yeah.
He's Australian. He was at uni when he was 12.
Oh, I love stories like this.
Yeah.
I love hearing about
brainy kids. I was in grade 3 when I was 12. If that. Hey, what else have we got?
Oh, there's been some thieving going on apparently at this station. We're going to get to the bottom
of that
boss here.
Mick and Jane go wild.
Yeah, because we love animal stories.
There's a very good story about a wombat.
We're going to chase down somebody involved directly with
a
wombat
attack. By a wombat,
yes,
let's be honest.
Exactly. You've got Front Bar on tonight.
Front Bar's on tonight. We'll get to the bottom of that. There's so much more. There's calls, there's tweets. It's all happening.
Hello, Dave.
How are you guys?
Very good. Very good.
Looking forward to the Front Bar tonight,
Who's
by
on?
The way. We got Luke Darcy.
Your old hot breakfast
partner.
The Triple M's Luke Darcy. Do you know what? I used to work with him for a lot, and many people say this, that I made him. I reckon he was a struggling kid when I arrived.
He will be listening now. I took him under my
You know, he tried to punch me once.
Yes.
Is that true? I've heard that before.
Yes, it's
really?
Yeah, it was fair enough.
It was true. But in the end, I gave him the stink eye. Like, I really stared him down.
It's very hard for you to stare Darcy down
Luke
when he's towers over you.
You wanted to punch Mick earlier in the week, Jane.
I often do. In fact, it's probably every second day.
It's not uncommon.
I'm very uptight.
I often come home from work with a black eye.
Well, Front Bar, 8:45 tonight.
It'll be a good show tonight, so tune in. You are moving house.
I'm so stressed. It's terrible. So I don't want to talk about
it.
I'm up to pussy's bow.
Oh.
I am, really, with boxes.
Why does that turn me on?
Doesn't. If you walked into my kitchen, if I say one more piece of Tupperware.
Well, I can see you haven't got the iron out yet. I mean, you're still.
I beg your pardon.
What are you doing? Just pulling this stuff out of a box?
Or? Actually, I'm not even going to go there because I think I'm wearing the same thing.
That's all right.
Change my undies.
Could you at least put the Triple M bomber jacket on?
I'll give that a try.
I'll tell you what.
I've had to keep going to the supermarket because people need to be fed.
Mm.
Now they give me these.
Are you sleeping on mattresses on the floor?
Yes, we are.
You're pretty much living in a squat.
That's all right. People relate to that when you move house. A bed was too big, couldn't fit up the stairs.
If I bring my own mattress, can I come and stay there?
No, I said I've got 5 children, I don't need 6. So I'm at the supermarket now. If you spend over $30 and you go to Coles, they give you these little shop. Have you seen these? Mini collectibles.
Yeah.
It's the most bizarre campaign I've ever seen.
Are you calling this dinner, Jane? Is this what is this?
Well, I didn't know what.
What
happens,
are they? $30
open them
for
up.
That? Look, it's like a tiny. It's like a packet of.
I've got potato gems. It's a tiny real packet lookalike, but it's a mini one. But guess what?
Here's a job for community services. Go and get those kids.
Mm.
You open it up, and look, it's polystyrene inside. Kids going to eat that. Just saying.
Oh, choking hazard.
It is. Well, they've got not for children between 0 and 3, but I tell you, your 3-year-olds would like this.
Oh, yeah.
Your kids are going to be buoyant.
Look at this.
That's right.
Do you know what this is?
The chance of them sinking in the pool the way you're feeding them.
Well, look at this, what I opened. Do you know what that is?
Oh, all right.
What do you mean? Do you know what that is?
Oh, that's not what you think it is.
It's, do you know what Pantene is? It's Pantene.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm not going to say it.
What do you think Pantene is?
You know what it is.
Oh, it's not a...
It's a tampon.
It's not a tampon.
Shampoo,
Pantene. It's shampoo, you idiot. They're not going to put a tampon in a little shop bag for kids to play with.
Why would you use shampoo as a hygiene product? What's that? Oh, I've been scooting around that for years.
What is
Pantene? Pantene is shampoo. This is a miniature bottle of shampoo.
Okay.
Oh, God, you are pathetic.
Why is that a thing for kids?
Because it's a miniature of products that they sell.
Gee, that's going to be fun for the kids. Hey, kids, I bought you a little mystery packet. What is it? It's a Pantene.
Do you know, people have gone off about this stuff. I've heard one girl here at the office has got a whole collection. Some guy sold, he's got everyone in the collection. He sold it on eBay for $900. What's wrong with people?
There's like a buy, swap and sell on Facebook where you can get in and buy and trade your Coles stuff.
Yeah, you seem to know too much about this, Dave. For my liking.
Yeah, hey, all right.
I'm under the pump here too. I think Fee Curran has got me in her sights.
We've had an email that's gone around the office.
Read it out.
Okay, it says, "Dear all, we had a big delivery of beer cartons back at the end of June to reception. It seems to have gone missing. It's important to get them back as they are for listeners' prizes. If you know of its whereabouts, please contact me ASAP in red writing.
Okay.
To save me from having to review the security vision from reception."
Oh, no.
Yeah. Good luck.
Cheers,
Fee. Good luck finding that. Someone might have beaten you to it. Can I say this to you?
What?
And just this, I was with you.
All I need
is an alibi. All I need is someone to verify where I was. She's coming in later.
Do you know why I don't think it's you? Because I don't think you could be bothered picking up all the cartons and putting them in a car.
You couldn't go down a flight of stairs when you got to work one day, so.
But you might have got somebody to do it. You might have an accomplice.
They might still be in the building, being drunk very slowly.
Interesting.
We'll get to the bottom of this. We're
going
to get
all right. Hey, when we come back, we launch a brand new segment.
Yes.
I spit in my drink.
Excellent.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave, I think it's time. We may as well get straight into it. A bit of this.
It's time for I spit my drink out.
Strap yourself in, everyone.
Oh, no, I'm up for this.
Well, you know, we have a lot of stories across our desk, some more interesting than others, some that are just bombshells that make you react in a certain way. We just thought we'd run a few ideas on the flagpole and see how effective
what kind
we can
of
be. What kind of reaction you can
get.
I'm just reading the paper right now, Jane. Right. Did you notice that the stock market went up 30 points yesterday? Interesting, isn't it?
It's sort of.
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
Todd McKenny dated for 5 years his sister's husband.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
I beg your pardon.
He's come out on a podcast. He used to date Simon Gallagher, the entertainer, for about 5 years, and then his sister married him. But his sister's not very happy with him.
Oh, you think?
She's called him a headline whore.
Wow.
That almost deserves another spit. And
that's what she would have done. With, that's what,
when she heard him on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
And a douchebag, she called him.
Yeah, no wonder he woke up naked in a park that day. Do you remember that?
I do. He's currently...
Oh, the guy's dealing with some stuff.
Mm. You know, the people who put on the Rocky Horror Show should be thrilled because he's currently playing Frankenfurter.
He's Frankenfurter and he's...
hasn't got a very good reputation, Frankenfurter, at the moment.
He's pretty versatile. He's gone from the boy from Oz to Frankenfurter. Well, crikey, you can do it all. How about an autobiography? I'd go and see that.
Well, there you go. Have you got one for me?
That'd be weirder than the Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't know if this has been interesting. You know Sashi from MasterChef?
Yeah, lovely Sashi. Yeah. He was in here the other day.
Hey, he's been banging on all day about prison sex.
Wow, really?
Prison sex?
He has been. He's been talking about it. He used to be a prisoner.
I know.
Guard.
Well, we talked to him and he was sort of, saying he was in the SAS almost.
And he was suggesting that, what was he suggesting, that prison sex is not as good as it could be?
No, I don't think he said that.
No,
I
not personally.
I think he said that inmates and prison guards had been getting it on.
Yeah, see, I'm a bit strict. I'm old school when it comes to your conjugal visit. I think it's got to be imported. It's just someone from outside.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's just a bit in-house.
Okay.
I think you've got to do it. He'd be good. I said to him the other day he should do a prison food show. Mm. Don't you think there'd be a good episode?
I think so. But do you think prisoners deserve good food?
Well, I think so. Anyway, well, it might come in handy for George Columbaris one day.
Spitting, please. Thank you. Dave.
Hey, Dave, you got
a story for you guys.
Yeah, what's it?
Yeah, Durex has done a condom recall.
Jesus.
Down. That's a headline you don't want to hear.
I beg your pardon.
What do you mean? That's like
a joke. How long have you been sitting on that floor?
Condom manufacturer Durex has recalled some of its products sold in Australia over fears they could split.
Oh, dear.
Oh, how do they know this?
Well,
how
the company says its in-house testing showed that high
in-house
pressure...
testing? Hang on. Yeah.
What's in-house testing involved?
They in-house said testing? That they... sounds like workplace harassment. So that's another way of saying...
How do they do that? That's a good job,
tests.
Isn't it?
I'll put my hand up for that.
Jeez.
Sick
heat
of this.
Treatment.
What?
Pressure tests and heat treatment have failed in their testing.
Well, for full refund, take baby back.
That's terrible.
That's the oldest joke.
Crikey. Well, you get the idea. Should we get people to give us
their
ideas?
Dave, you're lucky, Dave, because you've still got the original condom in your wallet that you had when you were 15.
Uh-huh.
So, can I tell you something? And
no.
Not many people know this.
What?
I'm wearing one right now.
Oh, please. God.
I'm wearing one. Yeah,
what
you never,
for?
Because you never know when it's going to happen.
Or, well, that's going to be
down.
On you for a long time.
Weeks, you don't know. I'm good to go.
Yes.
If anything happens.
Stop back, it.
Mickey.
Stop talking
I'm
about
up,
it.
I'm up and about. Yuck. You know what I mean?
Quick,
all right.
Let's get callers.
If you think you can make us spit our drink out, give us a call right now.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. It's time for... I spit my drink out.
133353. 133353 is the number. If you've got a story, it might be a personal story or something in the news you want to share that you think that might make you spit your drink out.
Yeah, you could win a prize if you can make me or Jane spit our drink out. And if we don't like, you know, it doesn't mean we don't like the story.
No,
it's just not that surprising.
Yeah.
I've got a story for you, Jane.
Okay,
let's see if...
let's see what happens.
Well, Nick Kyrgios has pulled out of the Atlanta Open because he reckons he's injured.
Yeah, no, it doesn't
surprising.
Shock me.
That is not surprising.
It just is kind of a bit dreary.
In fact, that's just business as usual, isn't
God,
it?
He disappoints you, doesn't he?
Do you know what? I reckon he's bad or worse than Tomek now because he's the one you always pin a bit of hope on.
I always had hope.
He's coming good, this kid.
But I had
you
hope
know what he does?
What?
He's just a bat, take a bat and ball and go. If he can't think he's winning, he goes, I don't even want to finish.
What is he, 10? That's very poor behaviour.
The equivalent of tipping a chessboard upside down because you're losing and just going, oh, well, have we got him? Here he is getting booed off by the tennis crowd in Atlanta.
But unfortunately, due to an injury, Mr. Kyrgios is retiring from the match.
He was down 7-5, 3-love, decided he didn't want to go on and just did it. Now, how many times this has happened? Here's a joke.
That is insane.
Seriously.
Yeah, and
They should just stop letting him play. Just go, mate, nah. Come back when you...
I did have hope for him, you know. I really did.
I know. He's just very disappointed.
All right. I've got one for you. Parents are paying for Fortnite tutors for their kids.
What? Beg your pardon?
You know, Fortnite.
Fortnite the
game.
Yeah.
Parents are getting their children trained up so that they can play... and keep up and be good at it.
Now, why? Wow. Why do they want? Why would parents
because
want
their
kids to be
just...
good at? Is it a competitive thing? Is it so they're not stirred at school? Is it?
Yes. Well, the coaches are cashing in. You see, so it's really people are offering their services to help your kid play. I mean, I tried to play it, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
So I gave up. But my kids play it.
And mine too.
You're very good.
You're like
at
the
it.
Kyrgios of the Fortnite world.
I was.
Here
I
you
was
were,
a
bag
Kyrgios.
Of Kyrgios, and you did exactly the same. You didn't. Couldn't
handle the hate. No, I couldn't. It wasn't for me.
Seriously, that's a story.
Yeah.
Tutors for kids.
Isn't that
so they can
terrible.
Get better at Fortnite. How about a violin lesson?
Yeah.
All right, now let's see what's
bums.
Going on out there. John is giving us a call. Hello, okay. John. How are you, mate?
Hey, g'day, Mick. Not bad.
Which part of the country are you calling us from, John?
I'm from Shepparton.
Shepparton! Oh,
95.3 Triple M in the Goulburn Valley. Shawnee for breakfast. We've met Shawnee.
For breakfast.
We did meet Shawnee.
Dangerous Dave's old alma mater.
That's it.
Isn't it?
Rocking the valleys.
All right, Jane, put the drink down. You know, we'll be right. Now, John, what do you got for us?
I hope you got a full beer there, Mick, because I got one I reckon it'll make you spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
GWS will beat Richmond for the grand final this year, and Leeds will be the North Smith medalist.
It's a double spit.
That's a jury.
John.
What is wrong with you, John?
Lucky you're in Shepparton and not in the studio with Mick now.
We're tracing this call. Hang on the line. We'll get one of our councillors to deal with you in the
John
break.
Was very happy with that.
Yeah, John's very happy with his own form,
happy.
Isn't he?
Good on him.
And obviously nothing to do in Shepparton.
Don't go Shepparton. Don't go Shep.
Shepparton's our heartland.
It's Dave, a great Dave's part of the world.
It is a great part of the world.
The food bowl of Australia. That's where we get all our food from. We've got the canneries.
Great part of the world.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it is, guys. You've got to make a trip.
Let's
up
go
there
to
one
our
day.
Next caller.
Hey, I'm a Shep Lay guy. Off.
John, how are you going?
Hey, how are you going, guys?
Very good. John, do you think you might make us spit our drinks?
I hope so.
Okay, give it a whirl.
My mum is marrying my dad's brother-in-law.
Good God.
Jeez,
how does that work, John?
It's a bit complicated. But,
your last name's not McKinney, is it?
No.
John,
well, it's
that's
complicated, but is it all good? Is everyone happy?
Oh, everyone's happy.
There's no trouble at home, is there? You haven't started your own cult or something?
Mum's divorced. My dad's sister unfortunately died about 11 years ago, so
So you've got to go to a wedding. That's the only downside.
Yeah.
Which side of the chapel do you sit on?
Yeah.
Well, knowing them, they're probably not going to have it in chapel, so.
Give him a prize, Dave.
John, thanks for calling up. You understood what was going on. Good on you.
$100 fuel voucher for you there, John. Thanks for ringing.
Oh, that's awesome.
What? $100?
Yeah, $100.
That's a good prize.
Good prize, I thought.
Jeez, all right.
Yeah.
I said about 2 litres at today's prices.
That's true.
All right, well done, everybody. Are we happy with that?
Great job, we are.
All right, we were talking children before. We're going to talk them again.
Yeah, prodigies. Stand by for that.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
Guys, listen up. Here's some good news and congratulations. Must go to Aussie genius. His name is Akshay Venkatesh. And he's won the Nobel Prize of Mathematics, basically, is what it's worked
out for him. Good for him. Well done.
The big gong. He seems like a fantastic guy. Guess what?
What?
He went to uni when he was 12. He went to uni.
Oh, my God.
When he was 12. He's just won the top gong. Great for the cut. Go, Aussie.
Do you know what I love, too? That unis accept a kid.
They go, we don't care. We'll take you.
I love that.
I thought you were joking. He was actually 12.
No, yes, he went to uni when he was 12. He's a child prodigy. Yeah. And he's you know what the disappointing thing would be?
What?
That it's kind of something that's useless in life.
What's
like
that?
Like math. You know what I mean? It's not that you're going to be a genius at something. I don't know. In your life, what do you use maths for?
Nothing.
Splitting a bill.
I don't even do that. I've got an app for that.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got an app for tipping too.
See, tipping and splitting a bill and all that, I would go.
Apps.
I would take this guy out to dinner. Go, all right, okay, actually, earn your keep.
I've had the fried calamari and the lamb fillets. Mick's had this. Quick, add it up. What is it?
Get the whiteboard out. Yeah. Get the abacus out and away you go.
So what does he do
now? You know
now?
Who's really
What's
good
his
at that?
Job? What?
Splitting bills. Went out for dinner with him once. Unbelievable.
Who?
Aussie swim star.
Malcolm Clem.
Grant Hackett.
Really?
You went out for dinner with Grant Hackett?
Yep. Let's just say it was before we got into our underpants and started wandering around the foyer.
Okay.
I was out with him that night. That explains his behavior. Yeah, but no, he's got one of those, it's not photographic memories.
How do we get on to this?
No, he's
really
unbelievable.
Super smart.
We went
like
out
that.
In Vancouver as a restaurant, 12 of us at a steakhouse, and he's just done it down to the cent.
It's bang, like the human
bang,
calculator.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
That's the fact we didn't know. Thank you.
Whether it's interesting.
Still with him or not.
Right. It's amazing.
But hey, it's good on him. But look,
what's Akshay going to do with his Nobel Prize?
Well, here's the other thing I use it for.
What?
Goal difference, trying to work out the difference between.
Oh, that's a good one. You've got to know your
six times tables and all that. My boys have already got the numbers 4 and 9 on their jumpers. That's as close as they'll ever come.
But your boys are geniuses because they know how to program your whole television videos.
And they do.
And you don't.
So the guy, Will Todd, who's in Brisbane, hello, Will, when I ring him to go, the TV will not work. He goes, can you put me onto the boys?
They're six.
He actually starts talking to the boys. Boys, can you see the button I'm talking about?
Well, I think
do you have a special child in that department?
I have a feeling that they're pretty good at Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
I think they could probably be tutors.
Tutor material?
Spend a bit of time on that.
Honestly,
oh, you mean they could be tutors?
They could be tutors. I walk past, I have no idea what they're talking about. Mm. It baffles me.
Does this... symptomatic of the new world, though. Like when I was young and pretty handy, I didn't have a tutor for Pong. You know what I mean?
Or for,
Super Mario.
Yeah.
Mm. Or for Legend of Zelda. Oh, I think you did actually for Legend of Zelda.
That's getting a bit far. I mean, what about, what do you call it? The flipper thing.
Oh, geez.
Come on.
Pinball machine. Is that what you're talking about? The flipper thing. and further at home, she did the movements as well.
But you didn't point to the AC/DC pinball machine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But you didn't need a tutor for that. People just, you know, like the Fonz.
But you know, tutor for Fortnite. Dave, is your kid's good at it?
My kid's really good at guitar, and I'm living my life through him. He's 11, and he can pick up, he can hear a note, and he can play.
Right. Oh. Is he Gypsy King's good?
Not that good. Not there yet.
Why the guitar? See, everyone goes, my genius at guitar, or a genius at violin, or piano. Mm. What about cowbell? What about a cow? Why can you say, my kid? Oh, he's really good.
Yeah.
That recorder.
I've never heard anybody say that.
Go.
Yeah.
Nah.
See him go on the cymbals.
Yeah.
All right, you get the idea? I think this is a good idea. Why don't we ask if anyone out there is sitting on
people
child
seriously
Jesus.
Might have. See, teachers often find prodigies and they might say, just want to say, your kid's off the chart at this particular subject. You might want to give them an accelerated course or
obviously
something like
I copped
that.
A bit of that when I was in secondary school.
Your mum didn't seem to mention that to me on Saturday
night.
She's
too busy mentioning how fat I am. you're not the only person who walked away from that party going, your mum really doesn't say nice things about you.
She's allowed to say it.
All right. Could have been anything if I had a mother who loved me.
1-333-53 Yep. Do you have a prodigy?
Do you have a prodigy in your family? What's it at? Tell us why. Give us a call.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Talking child prodigies.
This is in honour of Akshay Venkatesh, who is the Aussie who has won the Nobel Prize of Mathematics, the top gong. It's as good as it gets. Good on him.
And how old was he when he went to university?
He was 12.
And that's amazing.
He's done it all.
I realise I did talk down some of the children in my family by saying they're only good at Fortnite. I do have a dinosaur guy who can name every single dinosaur ever existed.
That's pretty cool.
And which period in time, whether from Jurassic or Cretaceous period been able to do that for many years.
And aquatic ones as well?
Yes.
The whole lot?
Yes.
Really?
Kit and caboodle.
Yep.
All right.
My daughter Gracie could name car brands as about a 3 or 4 year old.
She could go
Mazda, Toyota.
Yeah.
But did you teach her that?
She just worked out with the logos.
My nephew could do that with cars that were valued at over $200,000. That's sad. Hey, it's all Akshay Venkatesh. Good on you. 12 uni, mathematics, great stuff. We want to know, are you sitting on the next great Aussie child prodigy? Chris, are you sitting on one?
I hope so. Yeah. My daughter is extremely good at ballet, considering that I was extremely good at nothing.
When you say good at ballet, to how good?
She's in the Australian Ballet School, Queensland Ballet, just got accepted to Paris Summer Ballet School.
Wow.
She just got back from there, and she only tried out once, and she seems to get into and win everything that she does.
How old is she?
She's just turned 12.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
Even that's pretty old for a ballerina. You know what
old
you got to do?
For a ballerina.
She's 12 and she's already smoking. You watch her, Chris, all those ballerinas smoke. You know that.
That's great. Good luck to her.
Keep her off the fags, Chris. Paris at 12.
That's nuts.
Oh, my God, that means you'd have to go.
I could have gone to
Paris. Why can't my children dance? Damn them.
I could have gone to Paris if the Paris celebrated the nut bush.
Well. I'd like to see a demonstration of that.
You will.
Andy.
Yep, hi, how you going?
Good. What's your
prodigy.
Well, my son James, as a kid, unfortunately lost an eye.
Mm.
So went through his whole life and, you know, and he's 23 now. But we found he played sport, right into sport, and was good at soccer. And you sort of resign yourself to the fact that, he's going to struggle here and there. But excelled at it. Got in things like A teams instead of the B team.
Good on him.
And what sports?
And then, with soccer. We were soccer mad. And then through one summer, we got into softball. And I'm like, the boy's going to struggle. So he's hitting them clean. He's just smacking them everywhere in softball. And then once, I'll cut it short, but we're watching the Commonwealth Games once, and he was looking at the pistols, the weird pistol shooting setup.
Yes.
So I made a call to Melbourne Gun Club and headed down there, and he was hitting balls because he only has one eye. You don't have to shut the other eye.
So he's out in front.
You should see him at bow and arrow.
Good for him.
So he's good at all the eye-hand coordination sports.
Yeah, those ones where you have to actually close an eye to get it right. Well, he doesn't.
Well, good for James and good for calling up Andy. You must be proud.
Love to see him smack a pinata one day. Well done, Andy. Turbo, what's going on, mate?
Hey, guys. My 2-year-old son can turn my Xbox One on and turn the controller on, log into my Xbox, and start playing FIFA 17.
I believe this.
I do too.
What age is this to? Because my boys, I've never taught them to do stuff, so I had to do that. Then I see them doing things on my phone and my telly that I haven't learned to do yet.
Yeah.
Mind you. Turbo, so that's amazing. That's
funny. Turbo, how is he? Any good at the Xbox?
Oh, yeah, he's better than his dad.
See, I remember in my day, you know, was growing up, and you'd just hope that one day you could beat your dad at tennis. And you'd covet that day, and it'd be years in the making, and one day you'd be on the tennis court, and you'd see the old man sweating a bit, and you'd go, I'm on here, I can do
terrible.
This. Very big moment between father, son, probably his father, daughter, I don't know.
Yeah.
Me, today, it's going to be Xbox.
Oh, it is.
Imagine getting beaten by your 2-year-old son at Xbox.
That will easily happen. Good on you, Turbo. Hey, Mark.
Yes.
What are your kids good at?
Hey, look, I'm lucky enough to have 3 prodigies as children.
Wow. What's their strong suit?
Eating, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, eating out of house and home. What's that? What's their go-to from the pantry?
Their go-to, anything that's edible. Even stuff that's not edible, I'm afraid.
I think you're the Lone Ranger there. I think there's a few parents who could say that. Dean? Who's the kid?
Going?
What's he good at?
It's actually my godson. It's my mate's son, obviously. And he can rattle off the botanic names of insects.
Oh.
He goes out and catches them, and my mate started telling him, reading out the botanical names to them, and now he looks through magazines and goes and catches them. He doesn't say, oh, that's a moth. He rattles off the botanical names.
That is incredible. Look,
Have you checked that he's not making it up? Because
they're so difficult to pronounce
those
names. This is
Mothus candidatus.
I wouldn't know, but...
So basically he can speak Latin.
Yeah, well, basically, he's rattling them off. He made Jim read them out to him and started telling him, and he just remembered them. So
that's
when he gets
awesome.
Them off, he's 5-year-old.
Sounds like his IQ is larger than yours and Jim's combined, Dean.
Pardon my friend, Dean.
You're a good man,
he's
Dean.
He's only joking.
Callum, who's the prodigy?
My younger brother happens to be able to listen to music and play it on any instrument. It's absolutely amazing.
Wow.
There's not many people who can do that, to say.
Yeah, he just has that. Perfect pitch. Like he can. I remember I was sitting down at a piano one day and we were listening to a bit of Coldplay and he just completely played it perfectly.
Well, that's sad.
Absolutely amazing.
It's not sad.
That's sad. No, although Coldplay.
Chris Martin's not that.
Nice one to hear.
Great at piano.
Do you know what? Callum, I'm going to say this to you. Play your cards right, and you're sitting on the next Andre Rieu. This kid.
Which is no mean feat. Biggest recording artist and performer in
the world.
Thanks,
plays
Callum.
Ball. Well done.
Let's
we'll finish
wrap it up.
Matthew, what's going on?
Oh, hey. My 6-year-old daughter, who's now 16, so she's a little bit distracted, but she was able to do 5,000-piece puzzles when she was 6.
Oh my God.
When she was 6? Wow.
It was phenomenal. She'd just pick up a piece and go, yep, that goes there, that goes there, that goes there. And I'm dumbfounded. I can't do them.
I've never once finished a jigsaw
puzzle.
Either
have I. I can't do it.
Ever.
It does my head in.
Start off with good intentions.
But how did she get to 5,000? But did you just buy it for her and just start at 1,000 and go up and up?
Doing puzzles easily. It's like, oh, we'll just get the next one up.
She's off the chart.
She's off the chart. Hopefully there's a market for that.
Good on you, Matthew.
Well done, everybody. A load of prodigies out there. Encourage your children all the way, especially get them a Fortnite tutor.
Or become one.
Are we going to speak to the office manager, Fee Curran, about this missing case of
I'm
beer.
Fascinated and I need to know what's happening.
I can't talk.
You look really guilty,
mate. I've been instructed not to answer any questions.
Really? Who, by your lawyer?
Yep.
Okay. We'll get to the bottom of it.
He got a couple of slabs.
2 comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, I've got an email in my hand. And I actually didn't get this because for some reason I don't get work-related emails. No, I'm not on the... Anyway,
you had a shocking arrival at work today, didn't you?
I did. I tried to get into the
happened.
Car park.
Oh.
And I flashed my card.
Yes.
And it said, this person has already arrived. Is there another? I don't even like to say my name. It said I'd already got there. I don't know what's
so
going on.
So you couldn't get...
Couldn't get in. I tried. I had four cars behind me.
And when you did get in, there was just a gets.
I don't have a regular car.
I mean, that's cheap. So what did you do? How did you...
I had to get a real ticket, like a normal person.
You know how much they are if you sit down there all day.
I've already handed it in.
Okay.
I'm not paying for that.
Very expensive car park.
Are you still in trouble? Didn't you break all the rules down there?
The wrong way.
Are you still doing this? Yeah, because you're supposed to go around like most people, like civilians, and you've got to do a lap to get round, you know, to descend.
Yeah,
I do that. Get to the, as soon as you come, no, you don't, Jane.
I do it every day the right way. I'm a law-abiding citizen. Hey, let me read out this email in my hand. And I'm glad I'm not in the email loop because, you know, it says the subject is missing beer, urgent. Wow, I'm scared. From Fiona Curran.
Oh, yeah. She back, is she?
Yep. To all
office staff.
A bit
of peace around here because she's been away. How long has she been away for?
Oh, we've got Fiona on the line, so you may want to just back up before you read to Fee. Hi, Fee.
Hi, guys. Ah,
Fee.
How are you? Can I read out your email?
Yeah, sure.
I'll read it out again. Hi, all. We had a big delivery of beer cartons back at the end of June to reception. It seems to have gone missing. And it's important to get them back as they're for listeners' prizes. If you know of its whereabouts, please contact me ASAP, written in red, to save me from having to review the security vision from reception. Cheers, Fee. Fee, will you really go to the security vision and do you think you'll find the culprit?
I'd like to think I can find the culprit, but, to avoid the footage, that's a long time.
You're presuming that the culprit didn't anticipate them being footage and put on a false moustache and a hoodie.
Absolutely.
Or has erased the footage already?
Well, maybe. No, maybe he's in possession of it.
Fee, how much beer was it?
Hey, Fee, can I just ask, who would do something like this?
I've got to be honest with you, Mickey. The first I was made aware of this morning when I got back, and I basically put two and two together, and I've got to say, the first thing I thought of was Mick.
Oh, am I on your, like, serial killer wall? Am I on the CSI family tree.
You've got priors.
What's he done in the past, Fee?
Oh, come on, we've all knocked off.
I can't go into that. But look, basically, the way I came to that conclusion, Mick, was the fact that, you know, I had to think who'd be ballsy enough to do that, take eight cartons of beer, Mick. Who likes beer, intensely, Mick? Two and two together, Mick.
Yeah. Oh. Did you think of Billy Brownless at all?
I must say, he came in a very close second.
We're going to work on this case. I want to crack it.
I'm prepared to wear a wire and go undercover. Fee, deep undercover. I'll go and chat to Billy.
All right.
Start casually talking.
You know what I love? The kind of beautiful disrespect Fee has for you. You know him very well, Fee, don't you? That's why I love
him. Hey, Fee, where's your taxi cab vouchers?
What's that?
Well, my cab charge card.
This is probably an off-air conversation. I don't.
Stop being so demanding. He's a showbiz demanding.
Do you know what? It was Fee Curran who told the Offspring off.
For smoking on the road.
No, it was Susie Whitten.
Susie Whitten, wasn't
it? Yeah.
So what kind of beer was it?
I probably don't want to say.
No, she doesn't want to say the brand.
Wait, what's your favourite?
Yeah, as long as it wasn't Budweiser, because I got heaps of that.
Hang on a minute.
Richard Holmes, hey.
Good on
you,
Fee.
I'd be fine.
Welcome back.
You'll never get me, Fee.
Thank you.
I covered my tracks. You know what I did? I was dropped from the ceiling like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. And I had the black gloves on. You'll never get me.
I don't think the ropes would hold you to do that.
I'm like a really fat cat burglar.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Mission Andy.
Coming
there.
Yeah.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, strap yourself indeed in. What have we got coming up, Jano?
It's going to be a belter.
An absolute ball terror with too much content will be barely enough. We've got some wombat attacks coming up.
to blow your socks off. We've got, of course, last calls. Email us, faxes. We can take your calls as well. But joining us,
faxes.
Radio, the Juggernaut, the boys. Here used to be on the airwaves.
Here's our first guest.
These two blokes have spent a fair bit of time together.
I love you, mate.
For every.
I got a U2. I'm glad I didn't just get a thanks. I know what it means to say that to someone.
But not on our show. We've had solo Hamish impersonate Mick.
Yeah! Good afternoon, Australia. Bang! Fall in a fat lady's pantaloons.
Get off.
Jano, who's this imposter?
And solo Andy talking about his sex life.
So
how many times a week are you having sex?
Well, that's the question, Nick. At the moment, we're two.
Twice a week. Is that back-to-back, or what are you doing? Are you separating
them? No, we face each other.
Now, together at last to talk about the premiere of Season 2 of True Story.
No matter how unbelievable the story may seem,
he's got a gun!
We know that somewhere,
what?
Somehow,
right,
the story actually happened.
Please welcome Hamish and Andy.
Hello, guys.
Welcome aboard.
Lovely to be welcome.
So, I don't know if you've done a lot of radio. This is a microphone. You're talking to
the headphones.
Two finger distance from the microphone. Yep, that's the rule they teach you.
And that's there the knob for your headphones to turn it up.
You know, the other day I tried to put a set of headphones on while I already had headphones on.
That's where you know you've made it.
Honestly, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen.
Stuff can go wrong.
I called him out on it. Of course I mentioned it.
But that would normally be the perfect picture for a promo shot.
Oh, that's it.
Like the idiot guy putting two pairs of
headphones. He hears too much, you know.
We did a promo shot with Tony Martin once, Martin Malloy, and we said, mate, we're not going to do anything for a photo shoot. We're not going to do anything daggy or anything stupid. Can you just
good luck. This was the 90s, mind you.
Can you take it in our workplace while we're going about our business? So we were sitting around like this with the headphones on, and he goes, oh, why don't you put your headphones on like this?
Yeah,
and he
classic.
Moved one to my forehead and one to the back of my head. And I went, yeah, because that's what we do at work.
That's what we do. It's the old, these guys don't know what they're doing, but the classic one, if you have ever made a prank call, you're going to have a promo shot of you wrapped in a phone cord. that's a given. If you do prank calls on your show, that is in your contract. You must have a long telephone cord,
it
wrapped around you, and then you shrugging. Yeah. I don't know how I got here.
When do you two guys realise that you're at the point where you say to photographers, no, we don't feel comfortable doing that? Because it takes a long time in showbiz to say that.
I think you just one day try it out and then the photographer goes, okay, and then you go, oh, my God, it works.
You cannot believe it.
Oh, my God, I don't have to get Andy in a headlock anymore. Because we'd always have guys, do something zany. Like, oh, we don't really do zany.
Put on a crazy hat.
And
that's
then
a good one.
Get him in a headlock. We're not wrestlers. That's not what we do.
But you're velvet jacket wearers, which you wear for
the
show.
I love
our very first photo shoot it was 2003 for our TV show, which wasn't really ours, but they called it Hamish Nanny on Channel 7. Got the photographer was going, you know, and smile, and then maybe like one year sad, and we're sad, right? The show gets axed 6 weeks later, and they've run the photo of Hamish and I, like as if we've gone, got a fully hair and makeup on a white psych just to be in a sad face.
But Hamish is taking it, right?
The other dumb thing we did was, because again, we've never done a photo shoot before. So we're like, well, I guess you've got to give them variation.
You want to be pleasing.
So they're like, well, you know, smiling. There's only so many smiles you can do. They're like, now do some stuff with your fingers, like pistol fingers and like, you know, giving thumbs up. And then the guy's like, well, what about, you know, making money, like the money symbol? So we go, okay. That photo got used when we were axed to go, Hamish and Andy got no money anymore. And then also, like, Hamish and Andy re-signed. So it made it look like we're there going,
that's a
money.
Rookie mistake.
Yes. We were obedient dogs back then. We'd do anything for...
We're still pretty nice guys. In fact, very nice guys. Which is
Hamish
pretty annoying.
More so, but we'll get to that.
I think it's a draw.
You're an astute man.
He's a better guy.
We are here to talk
about your
show.
Two sets of headphones on because you know what you're doing. You're on top of your game.
Hey, so have you been asked to do anything dopey to promote the second series of this wonderful
Some photos around of us having to settle this about how we're so, how we shut down all crazy ideas. We have done a photo shoot for True Story where, again, it's just us listening to stories. So we can't do the block where we've all got hammers and stuff. So there was certainly a day where we had the chair that the guests sit in.
Yes.
And it was just like, well, 101 ways to sit on a chair.
On a chair.
Oh,
it got about 2 hours in. We're like, guys, we've done everything. We're sitting on the back. We're sitting on the arms. We spun the chair around. We're under the chair. We're over the chair. I think we've done everything you can do with the chair apart from pulling it apart and throwing stuffing at each other.
Set the chair on fire. It's the only way to finish it. How are we looking? Yeah. Talk us through it. The second series. The first was a cracker. Went off, went bananas, and was bloody funny. Australia loved it.
We are pumped for Tuesday night, 8:40.
Channel 9.
Channel 9.
It's a big league.
Over 8,000 stories were submitted this time around, opposed to 1,600 for the first season. So just by sheer weight of numbers, the stories are stronger, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Wow.
Someone very close to Jane actually is the first person you'll hear acting in the reenactment.
Oh, I believe that would be Rob Sitch.
Roberto.
The first one.
You lead out with your star player.
Yes, and we rested Mick for the season, which is smart.
It's really disappointing because you know what
Save
I did?
Save him for next year.
You know what I was doing? I was watching the promo. Okay. Oh, Sam Payne's back.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at all. I looked at them all. It was like a real roster of A-list talent.
Yes, totally is. Yes. And you're like, geez, I wonder. Should get the call up. It must be filming.
ready to go.
I haven't been asked either back. I did a voice. I wasn't even like on the screen in the first series, but I think I'm up to playing like a Snoopy neighbor type character.
Love that.
If there's anyone like a curtain.
Yeah, you do a very good raised eyebrow.
I do a good raised eyebrow.
Could I just see a disapproving look from you?
Oh, there it is.
Hey, even stink eye.
I'm sick of that look. I really am. I've had that. Can you hang around, guys? We're going to stop me there. Hang around.
And you've got a song to play.
What's your song, boys?
Yeah, whether it's a chance to be played, but John Butler. Better Man. And the reason why I chose this is because Hamish and I, back in university days, I'll be quick, but Haim...
You don't have to on this show.
Don't feel alive.
Andy, you've got the wrong show.
Take your time.
But Haim had this terrible car that he was advertising, trying to sell it, saying, and he said in the advertisement for the Trading Post, said, could drive to the top of Australia, right? That's what he wrote. Right.
Could have.
And I saw
full engine overhaul.
I saw it in the Trading Post at uni, and I've gone, mate, there's no way this piece of junk can get to the top of Australia. And he's like, I better quit. I said, all right, let's go. So we got in the car and just left uni.
Like a modern-day Burke and Wills.
This is great.
3 hours.
Quite a lot of time on our hands back then. Here's an idea of how dedicated we were to our studies. I think the exams were next week.
3 hours in, we rang our girlfriends, because either of us, we weren't going to pull out.
Yeah. Did they know where you were? And did they know you'd done this?
And we said, we're on our way, and we're not stopping until someone says no.
We're just in boardies.
And I believe Alex has called in.
He has. Alex, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, what's your question to the boys?
Did the car actually make it?
Alex, interesting.
I'm very pleased to announce that due to the good people at RACV, because we were in Melbourne at the time.
Got a call, did they?
Every day it broke down, you're allowed to get towing. Free towing, 150 kilometres. So using that technique of leapfrogging up the east coast, and they put you up in a motel if you have total care.
Yeah,
that was amazing. We got free accommodation every
single night.
This is a free
holiday.
It was.
What was crazy, because total care, which was Hamish spent some money on.
It was my loophole.
His loophole.
It's not that expensive.
It's
like $80.
Yeah.
You get 150 kilometre tow in the direction of your choice. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time next to tow truck
and my car didn't have air conditioning, but tow truck cabins do. So that was when we got, that was luxurious.
Did you ever just say, take me on a mystery tow? Like, you choose the direction.
Honestly, Nick, like we'd get dropped in like, you know, Airlie Beach or Townsville or something, and we'd be, you know, they're like, well, we can only put you up in a 3-star motel. We're like, are you joking? We were camping.
Yeah. This is
we've won the jackpot on Sale of the Century. So Andy and I are in the pool going, this is incredible. Why don't more people do this? And then we realised, because probably you have a plan, you have kids, and you
need to get to your destination.
Kids, we're going to Wet n Wild. We might be there in a week. Depends how bad the car is.
But to Alex, answer your question, it got to the Daintree and there was a big sign that said four drive cars only.
Yeah.
And I turned to Haim and said, suck it.
I said, that's, we're not,
end
that
of the road.
We're not at the top of the Australia.
That sign is made by chickens.
And Haim put his...
Sounds like a dare to me.
Haim
looked at me like Thelma from Thelma and Louise and just kept driving.
Put the foot on the accelerator.
And I said, nah, mate, we can't. They're not going to pick us up here. And I threw in the white towel.
Wow.
4.5 days in.
Close enough.
At the Daintree. And we turned around, and as we were getting back into Brisbane, the brakes seized onto the tyres and the wheels caught fire, and we pulled over on the bridge.
The wheels caught fire as you pulled into the rental joint.
It was like a really, really, really shit DeLorean from Back to the Future. It kind of left half a trail of fire behind it.
And we were we got out, and Haim was like, do you have insurance for this? So we were tempted to put a bit of kindling on it and just let it go.
I'm seriously gobsmacked. This is one of the best stories
I've ever heard. Well, then we rang the RACV and said, And they're like, oh, Hamish, yeah, hey, it's me again. Yeah, like, change
hey,
to
like
Michelle every 2 hours. Hey, Michelle. Oh, hey, Hamish, how's it going? Yeah, good. Got to the Dane Tree. Sorry, car's caught fire now.
They're getting really angry.
So they went, look,
you guys.
Anyway, how are you?
They're like, we're looking at your file here. You've been towed every day for the last 5 days. And I was like, yeah, and I always had to pretend like, you know, I'm so disappointed this is happening, but thank God for Total Care.
And I was there. I was sitting normally set to get snacks.
I was like, yeah, we're very disappointed in the car. We can't believe it. You know, I'm definitely not buying one of these again. And then said, look, because it's obviously costing them a lot of money every time we tow you stuff, said, we can do what's called a recovery where we just tow the car back to Melbourne. She said, but it comes with a kicker. You'd have to be willing to end your holiday now. And I'm looking at Andy like we've just won a scratchy.
Yep.
Going, okay, how would that work? Like, well, you'd just go to the airport and we'd fly you home. So we got off the phone and we're just dancing because we're just in board shorts.
Actually, I remember Hayne puts the phone on mute and turns to me and goes, they're going to F and fly us home. And then I'm celebrating and doing a dance and he pauses and puts the phone back up to his ear and goes, we're going to need some cab charges.
That's right, yeah. They got us a free cab to the airport.
Oh, wow.
That is a true story.
It is a true story. This is why you guys are so good.
Your own story.
Well, let's do it.
I suppose we could do a bit of Mrs. Doubtfire, jump in the chair, jump back to the other chair.
I guarantee you come Tuesday and for this season, these stories are better than that.
There's better stories.
I've got a better story. Well, when I say better, it's worse. It involves you and your antics and your behaviour.
I've heard whispers about
some of that. Hamish, you will be a poor. You know him well. I know. But
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the record straight because what I've heard, Anna, just does not match your character.
Some of the most mercenary behaviour I've ever witnessed.
I'm pretty happy with it. It's off the charts.
It's psychopathic. Hey, we'll talk about it after the ad break. In the meantime, I can't talk highly enough of True Story with Hamish and Andy, 8:40 on Tuesday night. Yeah, it goes over the trenches. Don't miss it. It's a TV event, people. We'll be back with more after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Hamish and Andy in studio. True Story premieres next Tuesday, 8:30 on the Nine Network.
I'm so thrilled to have both you guys here.
Thanks, Jane.
Especially Hamish.
No, both. Andy.
Not so much Andy.
I'd love us to walk out of the studio here today, guys, all friends again, because I know there's a bit of bad blood between Andy and me.
Well, are you acting like you're the injured party?
Hey, I'm not injured. I just don't have a friendship with you. Like, I'm not crying about it. Like you are.
And Andy's very happy about it. He's comfortable with
that. The mediation has got off to a bad start.
Can we recap what happened and why Mick's a bit
Yes, please. Sure.
We'll now cease the traditional throwing of stones and we'll go into the recap.
Here it is.
Okay, to catch you up, Andy traded a golf club for 2 Mick coins.
The new twist face tailor-made driver.
Sold 2 Mick coins. Bang! When the moment came for payment, Mick tried to hold back a coin.
Can I just give you one? Because there's a guy down at the Prince Wine Room who's offered me a whole heap of well-priced burgundy if I give him a Mick coin, and I'm all out.
Well, bad luck. Okay. You're done.
No deal for Andy. He took both coins and then headed straight to the Prince Wine Room and did his own deal for a pricey bottle.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for the Mick coin. I hope you enjoy this. It's Gerard Raffé. 2015 Charme Chambertin Grand Cru.
Good year.
This backroom deal shocked Mick. But where the bottle ended up was a real gut punch for him.
The thing is, I don't drink red. But Jane, you have to put up with this.
No! No!
Thank you, Andy.
Now I'm going to cry.
This will make him cry.
And Roscoe from the wine shop, he wasn't too sympathetic.
Have you got anything else for, say, a sad guy who just wants a little chop out?
Passion fruit, Bacardi Breeze.
Ah, Roscoe, you're an evil man. Isn't that mercenary?
Interesting.
That's like the Wolf of Wall Street.
Well,
that's,
do you know what?
Like you just taken.
Mick, you just swam with the wrong shark, unfortunately.
I did.
And he's trumped you.
You know that I read out of the deal and listen to the audiobook
relentlessly.
Relentlessly.
That's more than. Do you know what the
equivalent here is? Is you've wronged Andy in a business deal, and that is a game you don't want to play.
I didn't wrong him; he started it.
He did wrong him.
I tried to renege on a Mick coin.
That's a version of wronging.
That's the wrong bit.
If someone goes to you, all right, mate, I'll buy your car $2,000. I'll be around this afternoon. Hey, I do have the $2,000. I was wondering if I could give you $1,000 because I want to use the other $1,000 to buy something I want. Mm. That's not a reason. That's just shirking.
But to go take your Mick coin and go across the road and cut my lunch. To me,
where Donald Trump goes, all right, you're going to open a casino there. I'm going to buy that casino and turn it into a worm farm. And that's what he's done to you. Andy will not stop until he's burnt your house down, your family. family's house down. The family of the family, yeah, the friends of the friends, your neighbour's family. You're torching the whole suburb. He's like Kaiser Soze. And you wronged him. You wronged him. And now
the wrong man.
He's not going to stop until every bottle of red in that store and in surrounding stores is in Jane Kennedy's hands.
Well, Jane Kennedy is in possession of a bottle of wine I feel is mine. And
Jane, well, I'm very happy
with
that.
You feel
it.
All
no.
bottles of wine are yours.
Good luck wrestling it off, Jane. That's a battle to the death.
Is it still around, Jane?
It's still around.
Okay,
sure. I was going to actually share it with you, Andy.
Oh, my God.
He's already declared he doesn't drink
like
red wine. Why don't you drink half and tip the other half out in front of me? That'd be
I was going to put it in a beef bourguignon.
Oh, that's a nice.
I'll invite you around for dinner. I'll cook it.
How about this, Nick?
Put it in a good spag bowl.
I've got an idea. Jane, why don't you bring it in, decant it, do all the right things to it. It's an expensive bottle of wine. And pop it on the desk here at 2:30 in the afternoon. See if it'll get Mick in.
Oh, yeah.
See if it'll get Mick in an hour and a half early.
It's like putting a dog bowl out in the
back
porch.
I don't like to bring up something awkward. Okay. And I'm sorry, Andy, after what you did. But you have a bit of form in doing something. Did you not sell a treadmill?
Mick. Now you and I can bond.
Look,
that's the reason. I've been trumped by Andy before. He's absolutely ruthless when it comes to a deal.
Can you tell me what happened?
I had a treadmill. We've all been there. You get excited. Gym's not working. I could run outside. God, it's very difficult to walk to the door. Yeah. I know what I need. Inside me is an inner Monoghetti waiting to get out. Yeah. I just need a treadmill at my house. Of course, 2 months later, all your spare clothes are on it.
And then
your housemate's brother's done amorous things on it during a house party. You don't want to go near it.
He also then had it out on the porch.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know what?
It wasn't well tarped.
Well, I was like, you know, I'm going to. So I said to Andy, yeah, I mean, we chatted about it on air. I said, yeah, you're right. Look, it wasn't for me. I'm going to get rid of the treadmill. And Andy goes, well, can I have it? I said, well, I'm going to sell it. And so Andy goes, well, come on, let me have it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I would sell it to someone else. And then people ring up going, he's your best friend. Just give it to him. He's your best mate. Just, you know, he wants it. And he's like, oh, I would like one.
I'd like it.
You've been Andy Lee.
His girlfriend at the time was like, I think I want one. So, all right, I didn't want to sell it to him. He stole it. He pinched it off the porch.
Yeah.
Did you?
Okay, I did that. That happened. But the thing was, it was on his porch and it was just gathering dust and leaves and trees. And I took it. He didn't
even
notice.
Child services. I'm from the Treadmill Protection Agency.
Community services.
I got a call from your neighbour. You've got a mistreated treadmill at your property.
How did you transport it?
I went around and picked it up in a trailer and I took it. And he didn't even know it was gone for months. He did not know it was gone. And then the fact that he never knew it was gone, I thought, well,
Fair enough.
I go, he hasn't even missed this.
Okay.
So for anyone with a safe deposit box listening, the bank's allowed to take everything out of it until you know it's gone.
And then what happens?
Allow the witness to speak.
And then, so that was my first test. I was like, if he's been so passionate about keeping this treadmill, sure he'd know it's gone. You see it when you open the door at the front porch.
He didn't notice.
He didn't notice.
I'm a busy man. I'm in a hurry. I can't look to the left and the right every time I come out the door.
I tried it out in my house. It wasn't great for me until I put it on eBay.
Sold it.
Right.
Sold it.
And how much did you sell it for?
$700.
Wow. And when did you tell him?
That's two
I told him on air.
And every year.
And how did you feel?
Every year, Nick, when I do the accounts for my friends and I'm adding up who bought who a beer and whenever, who's in the black, who's in the red, and he still has a 700, he'll carry that over into the accounts from every year. I never got the money back.
Mercenary. Old school bastard. Can I say something?
That's got to be a promo. Yeah.
You don't need people to write in. I know you said you got 1,500 stories. You could do the lot with your own stories.
You could.
You've told us two absolute crackers.
And we've got Andy dressed as the Hamburglar stealing my.
How's your cake making going? Have you made any cakes?
No, my rule is I only make them for my own children once a year.
Once a year?
Once they turn three. Yeah. So and my 1 year old, my little girl just turned one a couple of weeks ago. No cake for her. That was store bought.
Right.
She knows the deal.
Yes.
Yeah, another one. Yeah. And then I'll make it for your birthday.
Game on.
And you've literally come back from overseas because we've seen on Instagram
just
you and your
show.
Beautiful wife Zoe
to do this show.
Just to do
this
show.
Right. And we appreciate it very much.
When I heard
the RACV fly you back,
told him the plane broke down. They have to tow me across the Atlantic.
Hamish, where do you fly back to after this?
We're heading back to a small town that I'm quite fond of, full of ruins, called Roma.
Rome.
Oh,
my gosh.
Sorry, guys. I'm 1/8 Italian. I cannot help but speak in my mother tongue.
You do it so well.
And right.
We could have you on all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all night.
Fair principessa.
We could have you on, Hamish. Andy, maybe. Guys, thanks for coming in. True story. Goes over the trenches. This Tuesday night, 8:40. Get on board. We'll give it a run on the day later.
Fun talk.
Hamish and Andy on Kennedy Malloy. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Time to go a bit wild.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, did you want an opener for that?
Yes, please.
I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
Animals gone wild?
I'll do one.
Animals gone wild.
Google. Yeah.
Where is it?
Well, I don't have one.
What do you mean?
Well, there's not one made.
Yes, there was.
Yes, there is.
Well, I don't.
We've got one.
There's one that's got rawr, like a tiger and.
Mick and later. Jane gone wild. Is that what you're after?
Yeah.
Leave it with me. I'll find it. I don't have it.
Don't look at me like that.
Is this your first day?
No.
You know you've played our opener before.
You could have given me the heads up that you wanted the opener.
What goes on the other side of this desk?
Man, I have no idea.
You've got one, two, three, four, five screens. What's going on there?
It's like Homer Simpson in the,
the
factory. All right, well, here we go.
Yeah, no one's going anywhere until we get find this opener.
Sam, our EP, has just come in.
Yeah, we've got
he's pointed
five
to something.
People in the studio.
You want the opener?
Yes,
but
please.
Dave, you're about to...
That's it.
Mick and Jane, gone wild.
All right, there you go. That's Mick and Jane gone wild. That's the opener?
That,
yeah, that's it.
Is that the whole thing?
That's what it always has been.
Play it again. Oh. I'm not sure what that was. That was it.
Mick and Jane, gone wild.
A bit disappointing in the end. After all that hoo-ha.
Yeah, I really didn't need to play it, did I?
Well, no, you didn't.
And this is a bit... this is not as wild. It's not like African wild,
I
what we're about
pardon.
To talk about. What do you mean?
The wombat.
That's not wombat. It's not African...
Well, wait till you see the footage.
Mm.
Listen,
before
we get there, can
Which
we please... We let's just drive people to have a look at this. This has been... We've been cackling at this for days now.
This is something that's made me, in times of stress, moving house, I keep going back to it because I've got to feel good again.
Oh. It's just awesome. It's a dog that's stolen a GoPro and, made a break for it, basically. So the GoPro is filming the face of the dog as it tears off with other dogs in hot pursuit and an owner who occasionally appears in the
background.
And they
can't catch it.
They can't catch the dog and the dog...
The dog's face.
The centre of attention. Where can people see this, please?
We'll chuck it up on Instagram, I believe, and we might tweet it out too.
Can you put it on my Instagram too, please?
At MickMalloy66.
It is one of the happiest, funniest things I've ever seen.
It's a dog that knows it's done something naughty, but it doesn't care.
Well, speaking of naughty.
I've always wanted to see a dog chase from that angle.
Me too.
It's like you're looking at the nose of the dog as the dog is just...
Going like the clapper.
Oh, jeez.
It's wonderful. Right. Well, okay, there's been another crazy incident involving a wombat.
Oh, this is terrifying. It's a terrifying assault on a
tradie. Didn't your mum get attacked by a wombat?
My mum was attacked by a wombat.
Oh,
everyone
no
has
way.
A laugh. She was at
back door, wasn't it?
She was the front door. She heard some scuffling. Scuffling. And goes, well, what's going on?
So it's Mick coming home late, drunk.
It's Mick come home in the fetal position again. Yeah. So she's opened the door and then honk. The thing's bit her on the ankle. She couldn't see anything. And then...
out of the blue.
A coward's bite from the wombat who's taken her ankle. And let's just say my mum, it's a cankle. It's like an all you can
that's
eat.
That's just payback for her calling you fat, and that's enough. I did not know wombats were aggressive because they seem to be more of your lackadaisical kind of
docile.
Chill, docile. Mm.
You've never been to the wombat
animal.
Fights?
No, I've never been to the wombat fights.
Oh,
but this is
crazy.
No,
you don't think of that way, but they fire up.
They really do. Now, a tradie in Bathurst has had an encounter with a wombat, but he happened to film it, which is very clever, but I wouldn't think to do that because this wombat keeps going for him.
We better post this as well, yeah?
Have we got any audio of this?
Yeah.
Have a listen to this guy being attacked.
Don't you dare. Ah, you prick. Oh, Jesus!
F*** off.
Oh, you bastard. Piss off. Oh, this little f***er did.
Didn't realise wombats had such big f***ing teeth, eh?
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what part of Andrew, tradie Andrew, that the wombat was going for, but...
He got him just below the knee. He broke his skin. But the thing kept coming. The thing just kept
coming.
It's
really, again, we'll put that up too.
When animals
really
attack,
funny.
It's really good. Something for Tradie Janie will have to watch out for.
I know. Well, I've been bitten by a monkey.
What?
A what?
I was attacked and bitten unfortunately, in Africa, by a monkey.
So good.
I was poolside having a pina colada,
and the monkey's never recovered. the monkey got alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, right. Keep going. No, I literally, I'd been out on a safari and I'd been travelling by myself.
Right.
And I finally had enough dough.
Is this a kind of out of Africa thing you've had?
Yeah, it was. And then I went to a hotel that was quite flashy for me. And I was lying on a lounge with a pina colada. And out of the blue, this monkey came and bit my hand. Everyone runs and they go, no, it's because you've got the pina colada. They like the pineapple in it.
Oh.
They said, we told you not to order pina coladas. I said, no, I did not get them.
or don't deliver that message after my third pina colada.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
What about Sharon Stone's husband, famously, was at a zoo with, what do they call those dragons? The Komodos.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And they said, we'll take you in to show you the Komodo dragons, right? He got attacked by a Komodo dragon because he was wearing two really white sneakers and apparently they feed him rabbits. So the Komodo dragon's got up, seen two white things, and got all bang and lunged at it. And he was, you know, because they're highly toxic, it's like gangrenous. And so you had to spend a fair bit of
Komodo dragon's bites. But
it's like crocodiles, they've got gangrenous, so it's the infections that'll get you. Yeah.
Again. You've come to the fore with your knowledge today.
Like a little bit of
stuff. I wonder if anybody else has been attacked.
We've done this once before. We've got a little package. Can we play it?
Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, okay.
Andrew, what got the better of you?
I was at Rotto and a quokka turned around and bit me on the forehead.
Right, a quokka?
Oh, yes.
Oh, a quokka.
That's awesome.
Josh.
My wife and I were witness to an attack, I guess you'd say. We're in Thailand on one of those elephant safaris. And, yep. There was a couple in our group. I think they might have been Italian. And the guy, he was annoying everyone all day. Anyway, he was trying to get his girlfriend to take a selfie of him while he was holding a baby elephant. And unfortunately, the mother was sitting right by and she was watching him. And I said to Mom, this is not going to end well. And the mother elephant literally picked him up like a rag doll and threw him.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? That's how that was always going to end.
Danny. What fierce animal attacked you?
Extremely fierce duck attacked my mate.
Duck?
And I was just absolutely pissing myself off and I couldn't do anything except laugh.
Damien, what's your story?
Do you remember a few years ago on the Mick Mahor show, there was this Mickey Mouse little Shetland pony by the name of Elvis?
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's hard to ride. Couldn't be ridden. Someone did get injured, wasn't it? It was my best mate.
Yeah, it was one of your boys off the crew. The poor bugger had to get stitches.
Really?
He got kicked in the chin. He got thrown off. Elvis kicked him off and then kicked him in the mouth.
And when you said to him, why didn't you let go? You said you told me to hang on.
Here you go. Just a little taste. A duck will attack. A duck is very, very fierce.
They're unpredictable ducks because they look friendly and then next minute.
Butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. Give us a call, 133353 if you've been bitten by an animal.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Mick and Jane. Gone wild.
Gone berserk with it now.
I love it.
I will admit I've been looking at the rundown and it doesn't actually Gone Wild. But
there was no mention of it in the meeting.
A bit of common sense would have prevailed.
But isn't it just on hand?
It's not on hand.
Put two and two
what
together.
What do you have to do?
About 4,000 pieces of audio.
Attacking a bloke. I would have thought that, if anything. What did you say? We've got 4,000 pieces
no
of audio.
I'd love to see you drive this.
No, I've got no idea.
It's like you're working back late at the office.
Oh,
jeez
Louise. We've got lots of callers coming through because a lot of people have been attacked or they know people have attacked.
A guy got attacked by a wombat. Do we need to play a little bit of the wombat attacking a tradie.
Yeah, let's hear.
Don't you dare!
Ah, you prick!
Oh, Jesus!
Christ! F*** off! There he is.
It's funny saying F off to a wombat.
To a wombat. The guy's climbing a ladder. It's like, you know, the old movie where someone gets up and climbs a ladder.
That's hilarious.
He's climbed a ladder to get out of the wombat, which
is stalking
him.
We've got the wombat on Twitter and Instagram as well at Kennedy.
Can't have a look at that. Jackie's on the line. Jackie, you have some interesting information about wombats.
Well, it's just something that was reported years and years ago. They had to change the wombat on a country practice every couple of years because they got... They started to attack the actors. And I've pretty sure they let it through onto the show once or twice. You'd see the guy dancing around.
Yeah, I think they might have changed the storyline to fit with, you know, the doctor's bitten fingers.
Are you telling me that the wombats became showbiz assholes?
That's right.
Like Christian Bale. Yes. Became the wombat version of Christian Bale.
That's
all right,
correct.
Well, that's handy.
Thanks,
info.
Jackie.
Good to tell.
Yeah, beware of wombats.
They've all got it in them. They can go berserk. Jack, did you get attacked by any animal at all?
Oh, I've been attacked by a camel there once when I was about 7 or 8.
A camel? 7? Where were you? Like in the desert? Or?
Oh, Werribee Mansion. They had the Karras by candlelight on.
What's a camel doing there?
Oh, for a reenactment or something.
No, it was one of the three wise men.
And nativity.
Where'd he nibble you? What happened?
Been attacked by a rogue camel at Carols by candlelight. How was your night?
Merry Christmas. What happened?
So everyone was leaving and... Anyway, this camel's running up and I'm just talking with my cousin there. And everyone's getting out of this way of this camel and all of a sudden someone's just grabbed my arm, pulled me out of the way and cousin's jumped out of the way at the last second and this camel's going racing past us.
Oh, well. Oh, I love a good camel attack good story. Camel. Thank you, Jack.
When camels attack, thanks. Philip, do you ever get attacked by an animal, mate?
It was actually my Scottish auntie on holidays, and it was hilarious because we took her to Featherdale to see all the wildlife and all that sort of stuff, and she getting a photo taken with a koala, and it just turned around and latched onto her neck. And it was hilarious. she's going off in Gaelic.
Oh,
I'm pull it off.
So she's got home, and again, how was your holiday? I got bitten by a koala.
That never happens.
She went after it.
Wow.
She's just Scottish, you know. Matter of
fact. Oh, yeah. No.
They're very stoic.
They don't die wondering. Well done, Philip.
Thanks,
good
Philip.
Story. Now, Pete, Pete's making an outrageous claim here. Is it true, Pete?
Yeah. His name's Nugget.
This is the wombat that attacked the tradie. How do you know him?
How do I know him? We rescued Nugget about 12 years ago and reared him, and he just wanders around our farm. He doesn't go too far. And his name's Nugget, yeah. And
where are you based, Pete?
In Bathurst.
He's in Bathurst. Wow, this sounds right.
A lot of people know Nugget. My wife is traumatised by Nugget. She hates Nugget.
Does he have an aggressive side?
What's Nugget's problem?
I couldn't say sexually frustrated. There's plenty of females around.
Oh my God.
I don't know. He's just been a turd of a wombat.
He's got a bad rep. Mutation.
Okay, I tell you
Thank you for these calls, everyone. We might have to continue another day.
We're going to have to please,
yeah,
and we apologise to Paul, Scott and Kurt. We're going to call you back at some stage.
We will.
Because they are good calls. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Friday show.
Why don't we do that?
This is part of Clown of the Week.
Hey, Mick, the front bar tonight, 8:45.
You've got to get ready for it.
Front bar, it's going to be a ripper.
Who's Bob on? Murphy on?
The great Bob Murphy.
Simon Black, Luke Darcy is on the show.
Oh, that's
as well.
A ripping
it's
show.
Fun. Sam
we'll be
Payne, all the boys. Can't wait. Am I on it?
Yeah, you're on it. About 8:45 tonight on Channel 7. Hey,
what's that on after? So single wives
sure,
or something?
On,
is it?
Seven before something?
Single wives?
Something widely unseen.
Hey, we've got Wayne Gardner on the show tomorrow too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep,
he's
going
to be. There's lots to talk to him about.
Awesome.
Let me tell you. What about being locked up in a Japanese prison for one thing?
That's tomorrow, Kennedy.
I'm fascinated.
A new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.